Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe Abdelbaki, and this is my Paisley Penny Arcade. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and a beneficial one, whatever that means. It's always nice to have benefit, and a one, and good for you, and good for us, and I hope everyone is feeling just yummy and happy and all sorts of good things. I hope so, right? Yes, yes. Let us exalt in all that. We're going to have a kind of a different show today. There's a lot of hype around the election. I thought it would be fun to look at Vedic astrology and the election. So that's what we're going to do. You're in on this. You know, if you have a feeling of, why don't I do that? Then let me know. I think I can get into that one-two chat room. I used to be a member of that thing. I know it's on Facebook, and I think I still have a membership to that. I'll get over there, and if you're like thinking like, I don't want to do that, then let me know. I'm going to try and get into that right now. Let me see if I can do that. See if I can get into that. Facebook, and I'm in a group in the group, and get into my groups, and it should still be there. 1-2 Radio, I'm there, and you can write Mo if you do this. I'm never gonna talk to you again. And of course, if you've never talked to me before, well, you know that's. But I'm in there now. I don't know if. I didn't know I could do this. All right. So you can talk to me, and you can say, someone, if you're in there, you can say, so Mo, I'm in the chat room, and I am going to say, I don't want to see your Vedic astrology, and I don't want to talk about what it says about the election. I just don't want to do it. That's just something that I don't want to know. You know, you might say, well, that's kind of interesting. You know, because I'm going to just say, okay, this is what I see. Now, I've already said, I said at the beginning of the year, that I did not believe that Donald Trump was going to win. One of the first thing I said in my predictions for the prediction show, and I stand by that, and I just don't think that's going to be the way it is. I just don't think that that's going to happen. So there it is. That's how I kind of see it as breaking down. And I'm not going to break down about that. I heard something he said yesterday. I was eating dinner. We're watching a pundit show that we watch every night. Well, not every night, but five nights or four nights a week, because he's only on four nights a week. And when I heard that he said this horrible thing, not to be, you know, whiny, but I actually began weeping. I was, and it wasn't weeping of boo-hoo. It was tears of rage. I do that from time to time. I have tears of rage from every now and then. And it was just ridiculous because I had never heard anything so reprehensible in my life that someone could say something like that. I was so hurt, but I was angry. I was more angry. I was really furious, just furious beyond comprehension. So that was that. And I was just absolutely furious that he could say something so mean and so dehumanizing. But that's just me. Maybe you would be that angry too. It was incredibly inhuman. And if he said it, I don't believe he wouldn't. That's a double negative. But it was just unbelievable to me that someone could say something like that. Grr. So, yeah, if you go over to the 1-2 Radio Facebook page, I don't even know where it is. It's on Facebook.com, 1-2 Radio. You have to be a member, from what I am a member, I guess. And you can get in there and Usually Jay is there, but since he didn't know I was doing this and doesn't know now, you know, I just did this on the spur of the moment. But I'm not going to talk just about Vedic astrology and the charts and so on. But I thought it would be worth doing because I do this very interesting, I believe it's very interesting, Vedic astrology. It's different than Western astrology, and I'll describe that as I go. But So there. And if you're going to, pardon me, my allergies, and they're mine, I claim them, they're mine. You can have them if you'd like. I'll be happy to send them to you. I'll even pay for shipping, if you promise to take good care of them. And I'm minimizing that. So the Facebook thing, I'll check in a while and see if anyone's gone in there, you know. And said, okay, there it is. That's that. It's there now. That's where it is. And you can say to me, anyone who's talking about Vedic astrology, I don't mean to mock your whining. That's what I sound like when I whine. And do I whine all the time? Ask my wife. She'll give you the skinny, you know. Although when you're dealing with me, it's not very skinny. I've started drawing a new cartoon. It's called Gizmo and Mo, and it hasn't started yet. It's not like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's like a panel cartoon, and I don't know what got into me. I just get into things. Things happen. I don't know why they happen. I can't understand it either. See, there it is, the whining. It is part of my being. So anyway, so Vedic astrology is different. It's a sidereal system versus the tropical system. Let me see if I can explain it very quickly. They're different. In the Western system that we use, it's a standardized system. It doesn't change. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. And so what we say is that the first day of spring always happens at 0 degrees of Aries. And that hasn't happened in a long, long time. Well over 2,000 years. That's just the way it goes. By the way, I have a feeling my theme song didn't play. I pretended it played. So I just sat here. And I always swore that the next time that happened, I would make pretend it played. I would go doom, 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 doom. And I didn't do that because I thought maybe it's playing and I just didn't hear it. Because sometimes it does that. So I really fell down on the job, and I'm sorry for that. I should have at least, you know, played a little dum 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 dum, or I should have squeaked a toy, you know. I have a dog toy here, and, you know, I should have done that. I fell down on the job again. Oh. So there's going to be this dead air on the replays, and people are going to think, what am I listening to? There's nothing here. There's nothing here. It's just, and there's the whining again. God, I whine. You know, I do whine a lot. That's just horrible. I'm just a whiner. You know, you're right. You folks are right. I do whine all the time. God almighty, I need to quit whining. What's wrong with me? Anyway, so the reason that this happened was that in the West, there was a long period of time known as the Dark Ages, when it wasn't allowed to look at the heavens and take proper measurements and so on. And so what they said was, look, let's just, on the vernal equinox, which they were lucky they could even do that, on the vernal equinox, let's just say that this is 0 degrees of Aries. And that's good enough. We're good. 0 degrees of Aries. Does that sound good to you? Yeah. And then 30 days later, we have 0 degrees of Taurus. And 30 days after that, Gemini, then Cancer, then Leo, then Virgo, et cetera. Et cetera is actually how it's done. Because in Latin, the C is a hard C sound. K sound, you know, really. So let's just do that. What sayest thou? And everyone, you know, would then be cool with it, you see. So, but that's what happened. And in the West, that's how astrology is done, and ta-da. Now, in the East, in a sidereal system, and there are Western sidereal system, just to muck it all up, What happens is this. You look at the actual position of the vernal point, where where the sun actually is on the vernal equinox. See? Now, I have a really very, I was going to say well done, but I don't know how well done it actually is. It's on my YouTube website, and all I can tell you to do is go to YouTube and put in Mo Abdelbaki, which is spelled capital A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I. I don't know why he said capital A. It doesn't matter. But, and Mo, M-O, right? I figure you got that part. And so you go there, and you'll see some videos, one on I Ching, two on I Ching, and then this thing, and one about Ophiuchus, the snake handler in the sky. Now, it's not the 13th sign. And I really have to, you know, it's up to people if they want to call him the 13th sign in the sky. Do it. That's up to you. Have fun. You know, ring bells and crash cymbals. That's good for you. But for me, it's not what I do. So the whole point is that the sidereal system uses observation every year of where it is. And we come up with something called an ayanangsha. Ayanangsha. And that ayanangsha is the actual position of the vernal equinox. And it precedes itself every year. So what it does, it moves backwards in the sky away from the zero point of Aries. I know. Okay, but bear with me. And this is called the precession of the equinox. It's like a top, right? So right now, the precession is, it's 24 degrees, 10 minutes and 55 seconds. Chitrapaksha. This is what's known as Chitrapaksha. Now, these are all just blah, 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 blah. Sound like Dracula imitation. Blah, 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 blah. And this is all neither here nor there. And it's actually kind of a lot there. But it really has very little to do with anything except a couple of things. And one of the things that it has to do with is really kind of saying, okay, this is something that is important. If you are doing Vedic astrology or Cyril Wecht, is that the name of the... Anyway, so the whole point is to say this is the type of thing that you might get into if you are doing specific types of... And Vedic astrology, because they were great astrologers and they really looked at all this stuff, you know, and they were very into it, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, Pamela, I just refreshed my Facebook page. Pamela's in the chat room. Thank you, Pamela. She says, I hear you, Mo. And that's nice. I don't know that I'll do this often because it's I get lost. And when I get lost, you know, I get really lost. Do I get lost and everything. But, and for me, you know, I'm an old feller, and I can get lost. More can I get lost. Anyway, so this is a very important concept because it uses the actual position of the planets in the sky. They're very different. So right now, the vernal equinox takes place not in Aries, but it takes place in Pisces. So this means that your chart, pardon me, will be very different than it is in the West. Now, don't get frittered, okay? Don't get frittered, because if you get frittered, you have been battered before. But that's a different story. Because what this means is it sounds like your chart will be very different. It is different, but it's not so different that because when CA and I have talked about astrology together, I've talked about astrology with Mark, and we've done so on the air, and, you know, it's always like, uh-oh, am I going to get in trouble? Because, you know, you're on the air with a famous astrologer like Mark or CA, and no, I don't embarrass them, you know. I embarrass myself, probably, but I'm not embarrassing them by, you know, because the truth is the two are like apples and oranges in a fruit salad. They go together very well. They're very different, but they go together. And we use different things. We have words like Vimshottaridasha system. And we still use progressions. We still have returns. We still have, but we have things like kakshas and put your, you know, get your mind out of the gutter. But we have these remarkable tools that we can use. Now, that all being said, let's get to work. Okay? And we don't use the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. No. We do not use them. We only use the visible planets. And I used to use Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto because I knew about them. I was a Western astrologer before I got into the other types. And it did not work for me. When I kept trying to use them. And there are some very famous and very good Vedic astrologers that use them, and I've just never been able to use them properly because I'm an old guy, you know, I'm old world, I suppose I should say. And I believe that my ancestors, the ancient Egyptians, yep, my ancestors, the ancient Egyptians, they were very good, and they passed on their information directly to... No, they did not. As a matter of fact, they didn't pass on much to anybody. They used a degree-by-degree form of astrology, where every star had a degree attributed to it. Every degree had a star attributed to it. And that, man, that's rough stuff. That's rough stuff. When you really stop to put your mind to it, that's some pretty heady sort of information there. So you've got to really have your, you know, wits about you when it comes to that sort of information to be informed there. Oh, man, eloquent. I feel the words coming right off the top of my nose, as we used to say back in the sometime. Okay, so let's begin and talk about this election coming up. So you can look at a regular chart like Kamala Harris, and you say, okay, does she have this type of greatness in her chart? And we look first at her ascendant, and her ascendant has the North Node in it. Now, in the West, we don't really give the North Node a whole lot of bigness, right? If that's a word, bigness, importance. But in the Vedic system, boy, the North Node is pretty important. Now, it can mean father, it can mean grandfather, it can mean a lot of things. But and I look to it specifically as hunger. A sort of a hunger. It can be, first of all, the myth of Rahu and Ketu, and that's what the North and South Node are about, Rahu and Ketu. And we talk about Rahu being the North Node and Ketu being the South. The myth of Rahu and Ketu is a lovely one. I will paraphrase it. I will make it much quicker and a little bit, you know, it's a myth. It's a Hindu myth, which means it is a part of their religion. And so I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to just kind of simplify it a bit. And here's how it goes. Vishnu is saying, let's get all together, get all the gods that I've chosen together to become eternal, and we're going to drink soma. You know, and we're going to become eternal, and that's that. And I've chosen you, and we're going to have some fun. So while they were there, they started having these contests. Who can do this? Who can do that? Who can sing the most beautifully? Who can throw a javelin the furthest, or is it farthest? Yes, who can use grammar the best? Who can do this and that and whatever else the case may be? And so while they're doing this, guess who should come along? But this horrible, horrible, grungy demon. And the demon takes the form of a beautiful youth. So for a while, it's beautiful and lovely. And while they're throwing, you know, who can throw the discus the best? Well, that was Indra, right? You know, Indra throws this incredible discus. And who can do this the best? And who can... And so this is, of course, a story about ego and how ego is so destructive. So this creature goes and goes and drinks of the soma, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, drinking. And they say, oh, look, Vishnu, look what has happened. And so, he says, oh, don't worry, give me that discus. And he takes the discus and he throws it. And, of course, he throws it and it slices this horrible writhing serpent in half. Throws it in and slices it in half. And the head is this massive serpent's ravenous, gnarly, slobbering mouth, and the tail is thrashing forever. Well, that is, of course, the Zodiac, you see. So there's the Zodiac, and at one end is the mouth, Rahu, which is where the eclipses occur, and the tail is Ketu, which, of course, is another place the eclipses occur. And those are the nodes of the moon. And I won't get into the astrological or the astronomical aspects of that, but that's a lovely story. It's a lovely story. So what we see is that Rahu, the head of the serpent, the Cauda Draconis, or the head of the dragon in the west, and the Cauda Draconis, or the tail of the dragon in the west, we see that at the Caput Draconis, did I say that? I hope I did. At the Caput Draconis, the head of the dragon, we see that at the head of the dragon that there is hunger. And there is this rapacious energy. So we see ambition and drive. And in the Vedic system now, in the ascendant of Kamala Harris, that this is in Gemini. Now, it would be in Gemini in the West, too, because it's at 1 degree of Gemini. 1 degree. Now, there are also mansions of the moon in the Vedic system, and this is in Meghrashira. Now, I'm not going to get into that because that gets confusing very quickly. Now, that was not an Indian thing. I was just trying to do a rather bizarre English accent, and I don't want to, get into that. So that's on her ascendant, and very early ascendant. So this is something, this sort of ambition would have been something that she had had from a very early age. So we know that she was ambitious and had drive from a very early age. So in her 12th house in Taurus was Jupiter retrograde. Imagine that. She was born on the Jupiter retrograde at 39 degrees of Taurus. So it's almost in Aries. I mean, it's just almost right there, and it's going to go into Aries any day, right? Because it's there. Oh my gosh, and the moon is in Aries. So she's got a lot of fire, but it's taking the earth with it. But we're looking at this. She's got Saturn retrograde, okay? And that's in Aquarius. So she's in Saturn retrograde, it lessens its severity. So she's a dreamer, and it's Aquarian, which means that she's someone who's for the people. Gotta be. And with that retrograde, it's like, it's kind of hippie-ish. But she's not born of a hippie age because she was born in 64. So she was born of that age. Libra, she's got the sun, and she's got Mercury in there, right? I mean, there's a lot of things going on here. A lot of very interesting things. Mars in Cancer. See, there's a warrior. Warrior of what? She's a moon child. She's a moon child. She's a warrior of the moon. The moon's in Aries. There's an exchange there. There's an exchange of signs. That's basic astrology right there. And Venus is in Leo. She is a warrior, no doubt. And her heart is in the sun. Her heart is in the sun sign there, right? And Venus, her Venus is in Leo. Her sun is in Libra. And remember, there are no outer signs. So her Venus and her sun exchange signs as well. She has got this. And so she has always been a person of the people. She has always been a warrior who has been really, I think she believes it. I think she's someone who has always been there. Okay, I'll admit to being a little bit biased in this. Okay, what the heck? And so now let's look at Donald Trump's chart. Looking at his chart, I got these legitimate and whatever times of birth. They're truly, someone got them with birth dates in hand. Now his ascendant is Leo, which makes perfect sense. And he's got Mars in Leo, Could that be even any better? Mars in Leo. This is a warrior. We know that to be true. In his 10th house, he's got the Sun in Taurus and Rahu in Taurus, the North Node. So his hunger is for, man, it's in Taurus. It's, well, what's it for? Moolah, right? Money and wealth and luxury. Because the Sun is there, so there's that too, right? So we're just looking at kind of who he is and that sort of thing. Second house, Mercury. Mercury in Gemini. He's not dumb. I mean, he's got this kind of mind for Mercury is the ruler of mercantilism and... Well, we know it's I hate to say it, but thieves and con men and cities and that sort of thing. But also, he knows how to do what he does. He's really pretty good at that until he got such public attention. That was his mistake, right? His third house is Saturn and Venus in Cancer. Right? Where's his moon? His moon's in Scorpio. Now, I have a Scorpio moon. I have a full moon in Scorpio. 3 minutes until the full moon in Scorpio. Now, his is not. His is actually, he's damn near got a full moon in Scorpio. Donald, you cad. He makes my full moon not so pleasurable. He's almost got a full moon. He's he's born on the full moon in Scorpio, like moi. And he's got the south node there. Now, he also has Rahu. Wow, look at that. Rahu and the Sun. My God, this guy was born pretty close to an eclipse. So he's got Rahu and the Sun, and he's got the moon and K2. So this guy was born on a real powerful bunch of stuff going on in his 10th house and in his 4th house. So his mother had real problems. Oh, my goodness. Scorpio and K2. Holy cats, I've never looked at this before. And I would imagine his mother had real problems. I don't know anything about her. I hate to say this on the air. I don't want to get sued, but I'm thinking that alcohol might have been an issue because of this Scorpio and the K2. I don't want to say too much, so I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to malign anybody. I didn't say Melania. I said malign. But just what an incredible... Because K2 is at 27 degrees and the moon is at 28 degrees. Now, there's something in Vedic astrology known as planetary war. And Rahu has planetary war with the Sun. If it's a degree away, the one in back wins. Now, the Sun is not in planetary war with Rahu, but if the moon is within a degree of K2. And so his moon is within a degree of the moon. K2 is winning planetary war with the moon. And I'm thinking that may be the problem, one of the big problems with him in his life. That could be a lot of the reason for his problems, because the 12th house is where his Venus is. And his Saturn is there. And it could have a lot to do with the way that his reputation with women has come from. He doesn't have a great reputation with women, especially lately. But I'm just thinking that that might have something. Now, I know I'm on dangerous ground. And if he does by some fluke and I'm wrong, not that I've never been wrong before, but if he does win, I'm going to a camp. if this comes up it gets played for him, I'm going to a camp or something or just disappearing. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. You all can go public for me. And tonight on That Was the Day, you can. But there's something really kind of interesting here about all this. His 11th house predicts Mercury in Gemini, he will make a lot of money, a lot of money, because his mind is so focused on bringing in the buckaroos, and doing just about anything to do it. So that's him. And being elected president, sure. That's chart shows, sure, that could happen. That could happen. Does it advise it? Not so much. Okay, so now let's look at a projected chart. November 5th, 2024. 2024, and let's put that chart on top of Kamala Harris's. Does that sound interesting, kids? Okay, let me check back in that room of Facebook, and see if anyone has started writing terrible things to me. Nope, nothing new. All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's okay. That's good. That's actually good. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. So here we are. We're looking at this chart. And what I love about Vedic astrology is so incredibly organic. And there are trines, but they're different. They're by planet. So not every planet, what we have came from this. So for example, let me give you examples. Squares are based on Mars. Mars squares the planets 4 away from it and 7 away from it and 10 away from it. And they're difficult because Mars is difficult. Makes sense, right? Jupiter, planets away from Jupiter are 5 and 7 and 9. So trines are pretty good, right? 5, 7, and 9. Well, every planet aspects the 7th away from it. So, but 5 and 9, so we're pretty used to that, right? So we say trines are pretty good. 5 and 9. Yes, yes. And with Jupiter is 10 and 3. Not Jupiter, I'm sorry. Saturn. Saturn is 10 and 3. And so we look at those. And so it's kind of a fascinating thing when you get down to it. But they all have kind of their own different take on this. And, man, I've been doing this for, I don't know, going on 40 years. Not quite. Pretty close, you know. Yeah. And I love it. I love it. It makes me crazy. I love it so much. So, and we can look at progressions too. Let's do that before we go to 11.5. Let's look first at Donald Trump's progress chart. Pardon me. I have a cough button, but when the cough comes before the button is there, you know, I'm sorry, you know what you have to do. Now, we have a thing called a muntha. I know. It's a muntha. And a muntha is a house that is accented more than any other in the year. And this year, Donald Trump's muntha is his 8th house, and Saturn is in it. And it's a hypothetical chart. It's one that's put together by, I used to erect them, you know, and you do it by dots, and it's bindus, and which are seeds, and each dot, and it's a hoot to make, but it takes a long time, so I allow the computer to do it for me now, of course. But wow, it's a hoot, and there's something about it that's really very accurate. And so much so that I don't do them for myself anymore because it takes, you know, the fun out of the misery of the year sometimes, you know. But this is really a tough one for him. His muntha is his, not his 8th house. His muntha is his 7th house, and Saturn's in it, and that's heavy. The emphasis is on his 7th house. Saturn is in it. What does that say to you as someone who understands astrology perhaps a little? That's heaviness. That's other people. That's his relationship. That's his, you know, that's, man, that's heavy duty. His 2nd house is the moon in K2. K2 is a whipping, it can be a very spiritual energy. Very spiritual indeed. Because as the Rahu is the greedy side, I shouldn't say just that. It's ambition. It's drive. It's let's go. Let's get them. The the other aspect of that, the tail side of that is, man, let's find the spirit, let's find that, and the moon. And we look, you know, in his natal chart, that's his fourth house, home, trying to find home. Scorpio, I mean, this is like things are coming home. There's some things here. And with Rahu in his eighth house, Pisces, the Muntha, in the seventh, tough year, you know. Wow, you know, kaplow. That's his progressed chart. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. 7, 8, 9. Mars in Aries. Mars in its own house. So he's fighting. And he's going to fight. And he's going to fight all year. And he's not going to give in easily. And his 10th house is Jupiter, Mercury, and the Sun, which are strong, strong planets, essentially. And Mercury in his own, you know, Mercury is strong in Taurus. But it's not his house. Sun, Mercury, and Jupiter in Taurus, and Venus. Wow. Venus and Mercury. Venus and Gemini, rather. It doesn't look great to me, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as it could be for him. I don't know. But that Rahu in Pisces in the eighth. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that for me. He could have a really, really rough year between now and his birthday in June. On June 14th, Flag Day, you know. And when I saw him kissing that flag, it was lost on me what that means to him. Donald Trump was born on Flag Day. So when he does something like that, it means something different to him than it means to you and me. When he kisses a flag, he was born on Flag Day. So he means something different. Wow, far out. I love this stuff. Okay, so here's on the 5th of November, Election Day. Let's look at the sky. Let's look at the sky. Jupiter will be retrograde in Taurus. This is Vedic now. This means when you go outside, if you go outside and you look up in the sky and the sky is clear, which will not be the case where I live because I live near the city, I may be able to catch a glimpse of some things. Jupiter will be in Taurus. Saturn will be in Aquarius. And of course, some things will be daylight, so you can't see them. Won't be able to see Scorpio. Venus in Scorpio. Saturn in Mercury will be in Libra. K2, which you cannot see because it's just a mathematical point, the south node, will be in Virgo. Mars will be in Cancer, and the moon will be in Gemini. Okay? So, Jupiter will be sitting on top of his sun and his Rahu, the north node. Jupiter retrograde. Not good. Not good for him to win the presidential election, in my opinion. Forget about my prognostication at the beginning of the year. Don't forget about it. I mean, you know, you have a little bit of personal pride after doing this sort of thing for 50 years professionally and having been involved with it all your life. But do forget about it. Let's just look at this astrologically, and we'll come back when we look at Kamala Harris's. But Jupiter retrograde. Jupiter is not on his side to repeat what he did earlier. Now, maybe if we have the time, I'll go back and set it up for when he won before, but I think we'll just stick with this. Let's not complicate things and make it just goopy, because I looked at it before, and it was like just for him winning. I mean, it was like, oh my God, he couldn't lose. The moon will be on his Mercury. The moon will be on his Mercury. He was born on a Scorpio moon. And this moon is a waning moon, which means it'll be all wet. I'm kidding. It's a waxing moon. It's not a waning moon. I had the joke wrong. Which means it'll be very shiny. Thank you very much. I tried to I know, I'm sorry. Waxing, oh my God, waxing. You know the word lunatic, right? Oh, that's too bad. Mercury, and we look to what else? Mercury rules, and that is also Virgo. And it's whipping up a frenzy, which means that that K2 is going to be whipping up a frenzy in his retrograde. You know who else has a retrograde in her chart of Jupiter? Kamala Harris. She has the same thing. Now, if Jupiter was going to be retrograde on his Jupiter, that would be a very different thing. Because then it would be like, okay, it's in the right place. It's in the right place to help you along. But it's on his Sun and his Rahu. So it's saying like, not this time, man. Now, I may be wrong. But what I'm seeing here is that this poor guy, and I shouldn't call him a poor guy, because he said the most reprehensible thing I've ever heard in my life about somebody. I'm not even going to repeat it. Look, it was about a burial. Look it up yourself. It was about, he said he would pay for the burial of someone, and when he got the bill, he said something so despicable that if I say it out loud, I may start crying. I'm not willing to do that. Mars on his Venus and Saturn. That has to do with his view of the world, his love of luxury, his debauchery, his standard of the world, and Mars coming along and saying, no more, laddie buck. No more. No more, Mr. Green Jeans. No more. Whew. Look at this. The Sun and Mercury in Libra. The Sun and Mercury in Libra. Look at that. Information and the Sun, the cleansing, clarifying aspect of the universe in Libra. Justice. I don't know. What do you think? And Venus. Venus in Scorpio on his moon in K2. Saturn retrograde. Saturn retrograde will be in Aquarius. And Rahu will be in his eighth house. Rahu in his eighth house. I don't think that's good for him. It's just kind of a rough place to be. Now, let's go to Kamala Harris on election day. We can go to her progress chart real quickly. In Vedic, her ascendant and her breast chart, her muntha is her ascendant. Is that my right? Before I get all excited and begin jumping around, acting like a moron, yes. Oh, her ascendant is her muntha this year. When that happens, you're in for some pretty good stuff. That doesn't happen very often. Well, it happens every now and then, and the moon is in her ascendant. Boy, isn't that true? She just glows. From the moment she announced, she got on that stage, and people just went absolutely kabong, you know? Mars is in her second house. She speaks, and she's dynamic. Mars is the second house, the house of speech. She speaks dynamically, and she speaks forcefully. That can be Mars. Mars is in my second house, and look at me. Wow. You know. The muntha's in her ascendant. Wow. And her ascendant in this progression is her fourth house, the mother. And that's where K2 is. So she's coming off as a great mother, which is important if you're going to be president of the United States. Isn't that the case? Fifth house, family, Mercury and Sun, Scorpio, Venus. I see that. I won't get into that. you know. Ninth house, Saturn retrograde. Saturn retrograde in the ninth, in Aquarius. Still back to her roots, back to her beliefs. Tenth house, Rahu. Yeah, in Pisces. Her belief systems. 12th house, Jupiter retrograde. Let me go to the main chart here, the one on election day, and see if I can suss that out. Oh, look at this. Remember what I was saying about Jupiter and Jupiter? Just exactly what it is. In her 12th house, Jupiter is right on top of her retrograde Jupiter. There it is. Saying you were born with this. You were born with Jupiter in the 12th house retrograde, and that is exactly what you'll have on election day. Jupiter in the 12th house retrograde. Guess what? You were born with Mars in your second house, and that's exactly what you're going to have on this day. Mars in the second house. Okay? Unbelievable. In your fifth house, you have the Sun and Mercury. Well, that's what you're going to have on election day. The Sun and Mercury. Now, you were born with, on the third house, you had Mercury, or you had Venus. That's not going to be what you have on election day. You'll have Venus in Scorpio. And that's because, well, you had Venus in Leo, but this time you have Venus in Scorpio. So Venus in Leo is that drive, that power, that ambition, knowing that there's something within you. Something that you have to do something. And this is taking it to the people. This is making it public. This is saying, look at me. Know who I am. Right? I love this. I love this. Your Ketu, your Rahu is in your first house when you were born. Right? No longer. It's in the 10th house. The house of ambition. The house of your job, the house of the public. That's where it's going to be. Man, this is incredible. And the moon is in her ascendant, shining down upon her, right? And it's waxing, getting bigger. And where is her Saturn? She was born with Saturn retrograde in her ninth house, house of spirituality, house of luck, house of greatness. And that's exactly where it's going to be on election day. Wow. Man, oh man. I just have to say, as a Vedic astrologer, someone who's been doing this a long time, I have to say, I do think that Vedic astrology has spoken. Now, we have the Vimshottari Dasha system, which is at the very moment you're born, the latitude of the moon is taken into account. Where it is, and then that's noted, and throughout your life, over 120 years, that's what they say the normal lifespan as a person is, but due to bad living, essentially, which we all know that can be, so there it is. And we have different categories of life. So right now, she is in what we call a Rahu-Venus-Moon cycle. It's not a cycle. That is a cycle, I guess. Rahu, Venus, Moon. And her Rahu is in the 10th house. Venus is... Her Rahu is in the ascendant. Her Venus is in the 4th. And her Moon is in the 11th. That's good. That's really, really good. We go back to Trump, and we see that his is Jupiter, Venus, Venus. And his Jupiter is in the second, which has made him a lot of money. He's still making a lot of money, apparently. And 11, which means he'll continue to make money. And he'll still continue to make money. Even if he loses the election, he will continue to make money. So I'm going to predict, based on Vedic astrology, which is what I do, that DJ Trump, former President Trump, is going to essentially not win the election, which I have already predicted through other means, and that's going to be the way it is. Okay? This is what I have seen through the Vedic system, very simply. And I think it is pretty simple when you really look at it this way. You just kind of take a gander, and it says such things. You know, it's pretty cool. I like how it works. I think it's fascinating. And remember, none of this negates the Western system. But it's old. Like me, I had to grow into it, you know. It's thousands of years old. Thousands of years old. I can't imagine how difficult the ancient Egyptian system was. They had these priests who would go out with theodolites, and they would sit and wait for the rising of a star every night. And then they would decide what happened every day. And they would write it down. They dictate it to a scribe. And then over a period of years, decades, they would decide what happened. And they'd say, okay, this is, and they'd correlate it. And it's like, wow, what's wrong with you guys? You know, is that what life really is? And that's why they called their temples the school of life, because they believe that their schools were their knowledge was the accumulation of all life knowledge. I love that, though. Imagine that. And writing was so sacred, because if you could understand writing, you knew it all. You know it all. Wouldn't it be nice to know it all? No. No, I'd be so bored if I knew it all. I'd be so bored. And that's why I started drawing a cartoon strip based on me. My wife thinks I'm the biggest egotist in the world. And it really is not me. It's just guy named Mo, who looks like me. It's not me, because if it were me, he'd be the boringest guy in the world, right? So there it is. And I hope you know that I did this honestly. If I saw that he was going to win, well, recording would disappear, and maybe I would too. And I'm kidding. I take my lumps. Being afraid of the truth is not worthwhile. Just isn't. Being afraid is not worthwhile. There's nothing good about being afraid. The experiences of truth, even if that truth is sometimes worrisome, are wonderful. I mean, at the age of 6, I saw a ghost. And all through my 7th and 8th years, I had to live in that house. And I was terrified through most of it. And I mean terrified. Every now and then I have a dream where I'm back in that house and I feel that terror. And it's when I awaken, I'm grateful for having experienced that incredible amount of fear, because it reminds me of the fact that I've never felt that fear since. Nothing can scare me that way. I was a kid, and there were ghosts in that house, and I was terrified. And until I was able to prove it, no one believed me. And I was able to prove it 100%. And eventually, they found out that it was true, and we got the heck out of there. Well, because it was dangerous. One of them was so malignant that they were trying to harm my brother. My kid brother was just born. And it was okay, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, harm Mo, ruin his psyche, destroy him. You know, it's okay. He's just messed up for the rest of his life. Let him be weird the rest of his life. But have I had fun. And speaking of fun, I have had fun today. And I love you. And if you think I'm kidding, think again. I love you all completely. Yes, I do. And until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2,